Today's podcast is sponsored by Wonderful Pistachios, where delicious meets nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts out there, and each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It is no secret how much I love pistachios. I love pistachios. It is part of my identity, and honestly, there are so many fantastic flavors. My personal favorite is the Wonderful Pistachios No Salt. It has a little blue emblem on it for the bag. So delicious. I know others love the roasted and salted, even lightly salted. There's a sweet chili that's good, a salt and pepper. There are so many options, and you can have them in the shell or no shell. Cracking each pistachio open one at a time? Yes, Wonderful Pistachios is the only exception I make for playing with my food. It is fun and protein all in one bite. Go ahead and visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more or pick up a bag at your local store. Let's get to cracking and let's get to snacking. Welcome to the Fun and Games Podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Lupton, and let the games begin.
I really am so excited about this, okay?
Honestly, same. It's been, since January we booked it, right?
I was I'm honored you even listened to the podcast. I was so shocked.
Yeah, is it your husband? He has that funny intro that I like where he's like, hi. Like, whenever you are like, hey, I'm bringing him on the podcast, I'm waiting for the noise that he makes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Wow. He'll be flattered that you even know him. Cool. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Fun and Games Podcast. It's a great day in Houston, Texas. I'm sitting in Alpha Land Quarters with the one, the only, Heidi Summers. Say hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
No, I'm excited for you to be here. I was just talking to Heidi. We were able to chat and chit-chat everybody, and it was really, really fun to be able to catch up. Not catch up, I guess meet for the first time in person.
In real life, yeah. But I feel like we've, followed each other for a while, and yeah, it's been a while.
No, I followed you for a while. I didn't know you followed me. I'm, I guess, a fangirl. Would that be proper
term? I'm fangirling too. I'm nervous because I've been listening to her podcast. So I was like, I can't believe we're here right now on the pod.
On the pod, you're gonna listen to this back and be, I did it. Check mark.
I'm gonna be working out one day because that's when I listen to most podcasts, and then ours is gonna pop up and be like, whoa, this is weird.
It's me on a podcast.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't know you, if somebody's actually living under a rock, because I feel like everybody knows Heidi Summers, also known as Buff Bunny, give a little intro background of you, who you are, so they can know all about you.
Okay. Well, hi. Super excited to be here. My name is Heidi Summers. A lot of people do know me as Buff Bunny, and I wear a few hats. I would say I'm an entrepreneur of a few businesses. I was trying to think of which ones I want to go over. I guess I, entrepreneur, businesswoman, YouTuber, dog mom, recent wife. That's new for me. That's a new title. And I have been doing social media for, over 10 years now. It's been a minute. And I really enjoy it. I love connecting with other women. And I love listening to podcasts while I work out.
Woohoo! No, I was watching your YouTube video. Speaking of your wedding, now you're a missus.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
I was dying.
How long did it take you to get used to saying wife? Did it take you a little while?
Honestly, I've been married for so long now, I don't remember.
Did it take you a few years or a few months? You're like, okay, yeah, wife, husband.
Yeah, I think so. I think we skipped the fiance stage. I didn't like the pretentious fiance.
It sounds so fancy.
Yeah,
right?
I was like boyfriend, like,
fiance.
Yeah.
Saying husband's definitely better, but I'm like, it sounds so serious.
It does sound serious. You're it's like, weird. Wow, this is commitment.
Yeah, I'm like, hi, this is the partner I'm gonna be with until I die. It's how I feel when I'm saying husband. It's crazy.
It is. Oh, but that's so exciting.
Yeah.
You got lots of wedding plans, but I watched your YouTube video of Alaska, your black dress.
Oh,
loved it.
Thanks. It was fun. We want to do something small with the family, just like parents there, a few siblings. And it was so nice. It was so beautiful, intimate. And of course, right after, my husband's like, we're fine. We don't need to go to Cayman's anymore. I'm like, actually, no, we do. I put deposits down. We definitely have to have our reception, if you will, in the ceremony in the Cayman's. But the black dress and the snow was something I really wanted to do, and the vision just like came to life. I had a lot of help with that though, but it was so fun.
Yeah, help as in putting, what did you put on, like the warmers on your leggings? Oh, yeah. I was rolling in my room.
It was like 20 below. I was like, how do I sit? Because the dress was basically mesh with beads on it.
Oh yeah, no, you needed some kind of protection.
Yeah, and you can only like pose even with all the let's see, hand warmers I put all over my body. I was like, man, you can only be outside for like 30 seconds and you have to go in the car and warm up for like 10 minutes.
Dude, that's intense. Yeah, 20 below, you're like burning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like your skin, your whole body. And Christian was just like, I'm fine. He was not fine. He'd get in the car and just start screaming like a baby.
Yeah, he's like, not used to it.
I don't want to freak out in front of your dad. I was like, you're such a baby.
Aw. Well, talk about growing up in Alaska. I find that so, so interesting. I want to hear, like, what was that like? And how did you end up coming
to the lower 48?
The lower. I know. I'm like, it's still America. The lower 48. The lower my gosh. 48. That's so. Is that what you guys call it up there then?
Yeah. And it's okay. A habit. I still say that. I'm like, yeah. And then when I moved to the lower 48, people are like, what did you just call it?
They're like,
but it's so natural to me because, yeah, you know, growing up, that's what we would say and we describe it. But yeah, I was born and raised in a small town, North Pole, Alaska. And I was homeschooled with my five siblings. Our family was really close growing up. We were definitely very sheltered, but I loved it. Like I loved my, like how I was raised, and, you know, growing up on 7 acres, all the neighbors had like lots of land. So you're really just isolated and you have to be really creative to have fun, basically. Yeah. And honestly now, cause I want to have kids soon. And I'm like, what do the kids do when you live in the city? It's something I've never really thought about. And I'm like, do they stay inside? I was like, Christian, what did you do? He's like, oh, just hang out with the neighborhood kids in the street. And I'm like, oh, the concrete? I was like, isn't that cars? I just never thought about it. And I'm now so I'm like, dead. Well, now we need to go find land. Because I'm like, I guess the way I grew up and the way he grew up is so different, right? Yeah. It's just, yeah. So that's something I'm getting used to. But yeah, like I loved growing up in Alaska. I think it was so great. Then I went to public school when I was a sophomore. And that was just that threw me for a loop. That's for sure. I remember going into public school for the first day. It was just like, I was so confused. There's all these bells ringing. It's like, okay, this is, you have 3 minutes for this. And this other bell is, you're almost late. And then I remember just being so overwhelmed,
yeah,
by all the bells going off. And then they were like, here's your counselor. I was like, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need a counselor. And it was just so, so much. So my first year was kind of tough because I wasn't very social. I was definitely very sheltered, very like introvert. I really didn't know how to have conversations with people, and that's why I still get kind of shy on podcasts, because I'm like that old school shy Alaska girl kind of comes out sometimes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember like this girl, she was like, I like your sweater. And I never forget, I looked at her, I was like, thanks. And I was like, what do I say back? I just like didn't know how to have conversations. But I'm still really grateful that I was homeschooled and that I had that time to really get close with my siblings and my family, because we're so close now, even with all the time that's passed. But yeah, it was definitely like a bit of a rocky start going to public school the first year. But then I really just blossomed, mainly because I was put in such an uncomfortable environment.
Yeah.
And I really had to learn, you know, how to be social, how to get along with other kids, how to, you know, stand up for myself. And I learned a lot being in all those uncomfortable situations to where I feel like they helped me like later on in life.
Yeah.
And towards the end of, you know, high school, I definitely was like, I was friends with everyone. Like I got, will they give you the senior award?
Yeah. Things? What is that? I can't think of what it is, but like, I can't remember what it's called.
I got Miss Congeniality because I just loved everyone. Aww. I was like my little Sandra Bullock moment. But I was friends with like, I mean, it's a small town. There's like 64 kids in my class.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was friends with the football players, the cheerleaders, the gothic kids, the party kids. It's like, I loved everybody. And so I was excited to be in public school. But yeah, so I was in Alaska till I was 20. And then I wanted to go to school in the lower 48 because at the time I wanted to go to med school. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to med school eventually, I need to finish my degree in biology. in order to do that, I knew I needed to put myself in, honestly, like another uncomfortable situation, a real university, if you will,
yeah,
and really get really comfortable in that environment before going to med school. That way I was like really ready for it. So that was on my to-do, and but it scared me for sure, just like picking up and leaving out of Alaska.
Because yeah,
you hear people, you know, picking up and moving to another city. A lot of my Alaskan friends, like whenever they would leave Alaska, they always came back because they were like, that lower 48.
I feel like it's a different, I wouldn't say like country, but I feel like the customs are so different. So it would definitely be like a culture shock of how you guys do something and you're kind of in this bubble. Everybody's in it together. And then you come down here and you're like, oh, everybody's living so differently.
Yes.
Especially if you're used to 7 acres, that's so much land and just like freedom and creativity. And just, I feel like you also have to have such a tight knit community with your neighbors. Like you guys really depend on each other. Where that's not always the case here. You're a lot closer to your neighbors, or not everybody's as friendly or nice. So that's so definitely true. Would be such a big culture shock.
That's a good way to put it. A culture shock. That was for sure a culture shock. I would say culture shock going to public school, and then also culture shock going to the lower 48, Texas.
So you came to Texas, and...
So I came to Texas, and I think what really pushed me to kind of make my way to Texas was, you know, I would talk about going to the lower 48, but I wouldn't actually like do it. I was like, I will eventually, I will one day, I'll do it. But I didn't actually make it happen until I had this like really rough patch in my life where I was cheated on, crashed my car, let go of like a coffee shop, which I'm like, everyone's like, it's just a coffee shop. I'm like, but I really loved it. Yeah. They changed owners. They like did this whole revamp. So they let a lot of the girls go. And I think just three like somewhat traumatic events like all at the same time, I was like, I feel like this is a universe. Just like there's nothing holding me back right now in Alaska. I've been talking about going. Now is the time to go.
Wow.
So I booked a one way and I was like, all right, I'm going to give myself a few months and I'm going to figure it out. And yeah, I flew to San Antonio. That's like I picked there because Texas is like right in the middle of the this was my like thinking back then.
Okay.
I was also what, 20 years old, young, mm-hmm. a little stupid. And I was like, okay, California is really expensive and there's no way I can afford to live there. Florida was so far from Alaska. I was like, I'm just going to go somewhere in the middle. I was like, Texas is close to Mexico. I love the culture. They got great food. I'll just go there. And San Antonio being a big city, they had, you know, a med school I could apply to in the future. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what brought me to San Antonio. And honestly, I loved it. Like I was just so excited. I remember the apartment that I lived in. It was like nothing crazy by any means, but it had a pool. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, I'm on vacation every day
because this
apartment
had
a pool. It was like the best thing.
That's so cool.
I would go outside, just lay out by the pool. I'm like, this feels like vacation. I was like, I can't believe I live here.
Wow. Do you think that was the huge pivot, having all those things back to back that took you out of your comfort zone and really helped push you to be the successful businesswoman that you are today? Just taking that first step, that first leap?
I think so. I think what people don't realize is whenever you're starting a business or you're getting into your fitness journey and those situations, it can be a lot of discomfort and you're just really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's out of your norm. You're not in your normal routine. It can be kind of scary. And just, I think the word that I think of the most is just uncomfortable. Sorry. I'm a little sick, by the way, like a little nasally. Being so uncomfortable in those situations really helped me grow and evolve in those instances where I was thrown into uncomfortable environments or situations or parts of my life. And I think just the growth and evolvement every time I was thrown into these uncomfortable situations, I wouldn't like back away from it. I would just lean into it more and be like, okay, I really got to tackle this. And really just tackling it head on and not letting it like fester too much or let it scare me or this or that. I would just really just tackle it head on and hope for the best. And then usually when I did that, I would start getting a little bit more comfortable sooner than I guess like cowering away a little bit.
No, that's very inspiring. And I think that says a lot about you and your personality and your drive and how you've been able to have so much success and be such an inspiration to so many people who look up to you. I mean, You own two successful businesses now. Buff Bunny Collection, if you guys don't know, it's a great apparel brand. And now you just launched the Grounds app. What do you think was the scariest, like, do you have the scariest moment in your business of trying to launch it? Was it when you were like, okay, I'm going all in on Buff Bunny? Like, how was it initially starting that?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think I've been scared. I've been sick to my stomach multiple times with both businesses. Yeah. And I like to tell people that because I think when people see other people with businesses, they're like, wow, they just like blinked and it became successful. I'm like, oh, no. We had those like sick to our stomachs like moments and times where it's like, ooh, should I do this? Should I not? And I think with Buff Bunny Collection, you know, it wasn't something that I meant to turn into a brand. It was just something that, you know, a lot of YouTubers, social media people, like they start doing merch, right? So I was like, I'll just make some Buff Bunny t-shirts. And so I remember like I did that a handful of times and like they just sold out like crazy. I was like, wow, it's crazy that people want something with just like a name that I came up with that to me, I was just like, oh, like I resonate with this because the name Buff Bunny, it's like Buff kind of is this not alter ego, but it's the me in the gym where it's like, yeah. I'm throwing weights around. I'm sweaty. I'm growing. I'm working on myself. And then Bunny is like this like soft, feminine part of me. So it's like, I love the word because it resonated with me. It's like, I have both of those. And, but a lot of other women felt the same, right? Yeah. They were like, I want to be that badass woman in the gym, but also I can still be that feminine, girly part of myself as well. I don't have to pick one or the other.
I love that. Yeah. I resonate with that too.
Yeah.
So I really love that.
And it's like, I don't know, like when I go to the gym, like, yeah, I like to wear like a little makeup or like make sure my ponytail's cute, you know? And 100%. I love that. Yeah.
As we should.
As we should.
Feeling confident. If you look good, you feel good, you lift good.
Ooh,
we're getting it.
You need to put that on a t-shirt.
There we go.
You got to put that on a t-shirt and maybe a mug.
A little mug. Or a shaker.
Ooh, or a shaker. That'd be a good one.
Yeah. Creative brainstorm session right here.
Wait, do you have merch yet?
I have.
For the podcast?
I haven't really done much merch for the podcast.
You should.
I know. I've been a single. I've been soloing it for a while. My husband's in anesthesia school right now, so he's almost done.
That's right.
Kind of get to.
That's a lot to juggle.
Fly my wings a little bit more. Yeah,
that's
we will.
That's a lot to juggle. How's your stress levels?
Not good, Heidi. Not good. I'm not doing.
We want a shot. It's over at the bar. I know over there.
There's a legit bar where we're recording.
Like right in front of us, we see a bunch of tequila and whiskey bottles.
I was like, Heidi, calm your nerves before this. Go get one.
I thought about it. Then I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
Responsible podcast here.
It's also 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, so I was like, maybe if it was closer to 5 or noon.
Oh, you're just so nice to fit me in an early morning.
I'm glad that we finally got to connect. Yes. I was like, you got to come here for another time where we can actually like go through a workout and everything.
Oh my, yes.
That'd be fun, right?
Okay. Well, let me know. You have a busier schedule.
We'll do a leg
do.
Workout together.
Yes. We'll do it. You got to let me know though. You're the busy one.
Honestly, after the wedding has been the craziest thing. After the wedding, when does your husband finish school?
Like April.
The wedding's in March. He finishes in April. You could bring him out so I can fangirl.
He used to.
I'll be like, say the intro. But in real life.
You know, he lived here for a couple years in Houston. So he was wanting to come out. And I was like, I'm going to do a quick little trip. We'll come out another time. So we'll have to.
Maybe in April.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. April.
Okay. Because after the wedding, after
done.
It could be like congrats on graduating.
Oh, he'd be over the moon.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Okay.
We can all do like a group workout.
I'll text you in
April.
We'll
put him through a grounds
like,
workout.
Yes. We will. Okay.
Like the juicy booty program or something.
Why do men have such big butts for doing nothing?
I don't know.
Butt is 20 times bigger than mine.
Stop.
Never has done a hip thrust.
He doesn't deserve it.
He doesn't.
I
Everybody
hate that.
Comments
like, why,
about his.
How
and
how
I'm
guys
like,
do that?
Everyone's like, drop the booty routine,
drop
Marianne.
The booty
I'm like,
program.
I'm over here working for it and you're just born with it. Why is that how guys are?
They have great genetics and their eyelashes. That always makes me mad. Oh. I'm like, do you know how much I pay for these? And they always look a little messed up.
No, you actually look so beautiful. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I feel that. Just guys do nothing.
Yeah, they do nothing.
The all-in-one like shampoo, face wash, body wash.
Oh my gosh. That drives me crazy. Christian's finally starting to do a skin routine.
Oh, let's go, Christian.
Yeah, up. I was like, he was like, I got a compliment on my skin the other day. I was like, Was it your mom? Because she knows you started skincare.
I'm throwing up. That is so funny. Oh, he's like, I'm gosh. A husband now. I have to start pampering myself.
He's like, I got to start taking care of myself. My mom gave him a facial the other day, too, because she was in town.
Oh, my gosh.
She told me to give you a facial. He was like, actually, yeah.
He's leaning into it.
He's leaning into it, which is cool.
You know what? Guys need that. Then they'll understand why we love it so much. Yes. Like, oh, I can get behind this now.
So I feel like guys can get away with that one face wash step for a while. Mm-hmm. But then he recently turned 30. And so once he turned 30, he was like, oh my gosh, my pores. I'm like, gotta get skincare, dude.
The age. Oh man, 30. 30.
You're
29?
I'm 30.
I'm 28 right now.
28. Okay.
You?
Okay. I'm 34.
I shouldn't ask.
I'm almost 35. Oh no, it's okay. God. I was like,
Heidi, 22. 22 is what you look like.
Stop. It's the Botox, but thank you.
You look so amazing.
I really can barely move my forehead. They put a little bit too much Botox last time. Like in the last couple of days we were filming actually a Grand's campaign. They're like, look surprised. I was like, I can't. You can only move your forehead so much.
You're like,
Botox.
I'm really trying.
Yeah, I was like, I'm trying so hard right now. But I try not to do Botox on the lower part of my body or lower part of my face. Cause I still want expressions and whatnot. I don't want to be completely frozen, but the forehead. Not much moving there.
You've got a wedding.
I got a wedding. That's what it was for. I was like, I need some fresh Botox for the wedding. And they always ask, have you ever done Botox?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, oh, how much movement do you want? I was like, I want some movement. This time there is.
You've got none.
There is no movement.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's fun. Good times.
Yeah, but okay.
In your household.
We were talking about.
Where were we?
I know.
Where were we?
We really just went off on a tangent, but that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Tangents are the best.
Botox, eyelashes, and juicy booties from guys.
Yes. It doesn't get better. We should just end right there.
Yeah, that's Bye. We're done with the podcast.
No, I think we were talking about scariest moments you'd had, taking the leap of faith and creating Buff Bunny. Yeah. Oh, and then we were talking about being buff and the bunny.
Yes. And then we just kind of we'll
saddle back in talking about Buff Bunny. I want to know, have you dropped a favorite collection so far that you are like, this is the one? And also, actually, I really want to know the answer to this question. I feel like you enjoy the creative process behind, what is it called? Not the photo shoots, but the concepts. Are you somebody who
campaigns
loves...
campaigns for yes. them? Yes.
Do you love creating the concepts for campaigns?
Yes, it's definitely my baby. My team is just they know I love it so much. And I recently, because I was I was wearing a lot of hats. I'm sure as you do the same thing whenever you're an entrepreneur. It's like you wear so many different hats for your business. And with Buff Bunny Collection, I had such a hard time letting go of the position creative director because that's what I was. I didn't know what I was. Just my director of ops was when people are like, oh, what all do you do? I was like, oh, I do marketing and I do, product development with my designers. And she's like, you're a fashion designer and you're a creative director. And she's like, you are these things. And I guess for me, I was like, well, I didn't go to school for it, so I don't like to label myself as that. And I guess maybe it's just that imposter syndrome. I'm like, well, my teams do that. And they're like, no, you're leading it. You are. And it's okay to say that. So the last couple of years, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I have been the creative director and I have been one of the fashion designers. And I was still, I'm kind of marketing director. So it's I still wear a lot of hats. But one thing that I knew that the company needed was a creative director who could be fully focused in that, just because, your time is split.
Yeah.
And I guess as your business grows, you really need to hire these certain positions and offload, because for me, I'm okay, I want to be a mom one day. And I know I need to give a lot of up because I can't be doing things back to back to back to back.
Yeah. I think it's the air.
Oh, it is the air. I was like, what was that? Was
and
that
I'm
the
like,
gym?
Someone's breaking
someone,
in.
Yeah, I thought someone was dropping their weights. The gym is right next to us.
Yeah.
But I realized that I needed to give some things up. And with hiring a creative director, I was nervous. I was kind of looking for a few years. I was like, when it happens, it'll happen.
Okay.
And that was the biggest change in my life. And it was, I needed that. So I hired a creative director and he just started back in, oh my gosh, was it August? So it's new and he's so talented. But it's taken him, it takes him time to get to know my brain. You can't just be here you go, bye. So I still am very much involved with campaign, the creative process with how the collection is shown to the world. So I work very closely with our fashion designers to develop the color palettes and all the designs and all the products. And how it's presented to the world is so important to me. Because I was like, man, like I put my whole heart and soul into all these designs and the fabrics and everything. And I was like, how it's presented to the world is so important to me.
Yeah.
So we basically will think of a creative campaign. Like I'll go to my fashion team. I'm like, I want to do a Frozen collection where it's different shades of blue, monochromatic. We'll put some gray in there. Basically like an icy toned collection. And I want to shoot this in Alaska and I want to ballerina the glaciers and all the crazy stuff, right? And they're like, all right, big dreams, go for it. And like sometimes like I tell them the things that I want to do and they just look at me like,
okay.
But we always figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I guess for me, like, I have a vision in my head and it's just, it takes time for the team to understand like what's going on in my brain. So I think the funniest one was I wanted to build a gym out of candy. I was like,
I love this one. So yes. Tell me everything. I love all of them because in my mind, I love the creative process and I appreciate it so much more than you realize. I love it. So yes. Tell me all about the candy gym.
It's just fun. And I think for me, you see like fashion shows doing that, but not a lot of gym wear, you know, does like the crazy themes. And so I just wanted something different. And I guess it's like a dreamer creative. I love to just bring excitement to things. And we did a collaboration with Felicia Keithley. Do you know mm-hmm. who she is? She's so sweet. So yeah. Amazing. Has such a great story. And for her, what's important to her is balance. She's like, I work out, I take care of my kids, but also I'm going to eat a donut. So she's all about having that balance. And so we sat with her and we were like, what about a like sugar rush collection where we build a gym out of candy? She's like, yes. So my team's like, how are we doing that? And I was like, oh, you know, you just got to grab a candy necklace and you just loop it through a jump rope. And now you have a candy jump rope. And they're like, we don't think like that, you know? So it takes a lot of time to teach your team to like show them what's in your brain and like how to make those concepts come to life. And you almost need to find people that are so beyond creative that it's really hard to find the people where it's like you need to reel them in. Like a lot of creatives, especially when they go to school, it's like they have this box yes. that they are used to being in. And I'm like, I want someone that is like out in space, like someone that just thinks so crazy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry a bunch of different stressors. Recently, Darian and I are working through moving, him graduating, taking boards, wrapping up things here in Michigan, and our cross-country move to Florida. Like us, I assume that you also probably have a lot of things that are going on in your life and some stressors, whether they are big or small. And oftentimes we can keep them bottled up and then it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy can be a safe place for you to get things off of your chest and try to work through whatever is weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, go ahead and give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Brit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Brit. Today I'm welcoming a new podcast sponsor, Shrank Grills. If you haven't heard about these yet, today is the day. Darian and I cannot wait to move to Florida and start our hosting era, and this is the perfect way to do it. These grills heat up to over 1500 degrees in less than 5 minutes, and it uses the exact same infrared technology as the world's best steakhouses. So things are going to cook really fast. Your steaks can be ready in as little as 3 minutes, and salmon as well. Big salmon girly over here. We're trying to get all of our protein gains, and this delivers on flavor because everything is juicier on a grill. They also have a dip tray at the bottom. This is probably my favorite feature of these grills. You can let all the steak juices just drip to the bottom of the drip tray, and then it's going to create these brown bits. And you can add butter, spices, oils into that dip tray also, and then pour all the juices back onto the steak. And this makes such a big difference in flavor. This grill isn't just for steak, though. You can also cook chicken wings, hamburgers, seafood, even pizza with their pizza stone accessories. So if you've been on the fence for your summer grilling, look no further and get your Shrank Grill today. That's spelled S-C-H-W-A-N-K, Shrank Grills. You can use code FUNANDGAINS to get $150 off a Shrank Grill. Yes, because that's how you get those really cool ideas and get it done. I feel like that would be so hard for me. Running a business is like, I have all these ideas and I want them to do it, but then they can't always see that vision. So I feel like you have done an amazing job at creating a team that understands you, your brand, your vision to get these things to come to life. It is so cool because I don't feel like anybody else in the space does anything remotely like this or as cool. Yeah, truly.
It's fun. Yes. I enjoy it.
But you can just tell that you love it too. Like I can tell as a consumer that you genuinely love and put your heart and soul not only to the collection and to the how great everything is made, but also into all the creative concepts and everything. So
like a fun little spice to it.
It is.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. What made you initially want to start an apparel brand, Buff Bunny? You said you started with merch, but were you just like, did you feel like something was lacking?
Yeah, I think at the time, because this was 7 years ago, there was a few reasons that I wanted to. One, I think people, after I did the merch t-shirts, girls were like, oh, you should do leggings, you should do joggers, you should do this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my favorite quote is, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. I think that's in the Bible. I think that's in the Bible.
It might be. There were some thighs, so probably.
Yeah, there were some thighs. Not thighs, but thighs. Yes, my mom always said that growing up. She's like, whatever you do, you got to do it right.
Yes, I love that.
So I was like, if I'm going to do leggings, I would look at the ones that people would print, you know, like
Blanks on. And just put the,
And I was like, those are tragic. I can't do that. It's like the ones where it's like really high waist. It has a skinny little elastic where it's like a half inch. I was like, oh no, I cannot do that. So I started looking into manufacturers and different fabrics and really just teaching myself because I really enjoyed fabrics. I love different fabrics, the way that they feel on your body and the softness and the capabilities. So I kind of just did a lot of research working with different manufacturers. And I was like, at first I was like, well, I'll do like a pair of leggings or two just because people are asking for them. And my love language is acts of service. So I love to do things for people and it makes me happy. So I was like, I'd love to give girls like a great pair of leggings for a good price for what they're getting. So that's kind of what inspired me. And then also at the time I was working with an apparel brand. And there was a lot of other brands out there. And I noticed that they were all male owned, which nothing wrong with that. We love guys. Mm-hmm. Love a husband. They're all great. But there wasn't a lot of women coming out with their own activewear lines. And I was like, I feel like a woman's touch on it would be so phenomenal.
Yep.
So those are the two reasons that kind of sparked me in the beginning. Now I see a lot more activewear companies with women behind them. And it makes me happy. And it's funny because people are like, oh, it's like these are your competition or this or that. I'm like, nah, like it's a multi-billion dollar industry. There's so much room for growth. Like, I technically am married to my own competition, you know? So it's like, there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
And honestly, like you can do so much more when you collaborate with people like that, or you can all learn from each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So if we're talking numbers, how much did Buff Bunny gross in 2023? I'm so curious. Are you comfortable? I can cut this if you're not
comfortable. No, you're good. Okay. So I don't like to give exact numbers like per year or anything like that.
Okay, so have you ever cleared $1 million in Buff Bunny?
Yes. I will say like...
Okay, yeah.
So I think Max asked me this on a podcast. And I don't know if it's because, I guess growing up, like we never really...
We never really talked about money.
And so I'm still kind of struggling with that a little bit. But my Jeff, our mutual friend of ours, he's been like, you need to get more comfortable with that. So I will say since the brand started, we've done over 9 figures.
I can't calculate that, but that sounds like, wait. So six.
So over.
Okay. So a lot of money. That's a great way to put it.
So
congratulations.
Over 100 million.
Yeah.
We've collectively made
since the beginning. That's
insane.
I only ask because it's one thing to see on social media, but it's one thing to see in the back end of like, no, this actually is successful. And not that just sales has any implication of success, because you really do make people feel so inspired and amazing in their clothes. Like a good gym fit is the best.
It is. It but like what you said, it's like you work. What did you say? You said you look good.
Look good,
dress good. Oh, it was so good. We'll have to go back. Yeah, we'll have to go back. You got to put that on a shirt.
Okay. You can take it. You can take it. Put it on yours.
No. I'm going to wait for for you to come out with your merch for the podcast. Okay. That's a good one.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess when it comes to talking about money, it's something I still struggle with. I'm trying to get more comfortable with it. But that's one thing. I'm like, and I guess for me, it's hard because giving out certain numbers, I feel like it can make some girls listen and be like, oh, wow, that's so, like, I can't reach that.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, I guess since the beginning, I was, like, not throwing out a lot of numbers and just seeing girls watch how I, you know, was doing stuff out of the home, and then now I have a business. Them not putting a number on it, I feel like it makes it more attainable to them.
I totally understand that. And also, like, you don't want to, like, shout out how much your business makes. And
it's a hard struggle to...
Money people are like, oh, well, then if they make all this money, then why can't... You know, people start judging so quick about... Yeah. How money is spent or what you're doing with money. So no, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
No. I love questions like this. No. I was like, okay, instead of saying it per year,
love that.
I can say collectively it's done well over $100 million dollars, which is wild.
No, that's insane.
It's wild.
I have chills. I hope you understand how amazing that is. And you can pat yourself on the back. It's funny. You mentioned imposter syndrome earlier and I'm like, it's so crazy that we do that to ourselves because I'm like, never. You have no idea how great of an impact you've had on so many people's lives. But you'll never realize that within yourself, you know. But you do.
Yeah, it's crazy because I feel like everybody struggles with that. You could be the most successful person in the world, but people still struggle with imposter syndrome. And I'm so proud of like what I've done and my team has done over the years. But yeah, I guess I'm always like, oh, I could be doing more. I could be growing more. It's like,
you know,
you have to like snap yourself out of it sometimes.
Yes. And I'm glad it's always nice to be in other people in the industry that everyone baseline feels that same way.
Yeah.
Cause like I feel that way and I'm like, oh, if Heidi feels that way and I feel that way. Okay. So like It's okay. Yeah. I am enough. I'm doing okay.
Exactly.
We're doing the best we can. So
what about, are there been times where you have felt like imposter syndrome or
every day?
Like, cause you're doing a lot, you're juggling a lot. So what are some things that you do? I'm like, turn it back.
No, I love it. Okay. Let's hear it.
I'd love to know. What are some things that you do for yourself that really helps you snap out of that?
I think something to ground myself. That's kind of a pun because your app is actually called Ground. We'll get right
love
into that.
This is why I love the name.
See, no, but something that like removes me from the situation because it's normally work related that I'm feeling imposter syndrome about. So honestly, just taking some time off and like Sunday's normally like our family day. So I like don't try not to go on socials and just am like, oh, this really matters. Even if I still have these goals and ambitions in my own business, at the end of the day, like this family is what matters most. And like, even like a little hug from my son, it's like, oh, everything's
Vinny,
all.
Vinny, right?
Yeah.
Vinny.
Yeah. Everything's
He's
all better.
Four, five?
He's four.
Four.
Can you believe that?
That must be so fun.
It is the best. It is so fun. I could talk about it all day, but we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you. I did mention your new app. So you just launched a new brand new business. So it's own thing.
Yes.
The Grounds app. I watched your YouTube video. There's like, you filmed 2,200 exercises.
Excuse me. 2,200.
Are you well?
So tired. Well, we only did like four to eight reps of each one, but we did it over the course of 2 weeks. So we had plenty of time, but
still.
Yeah.
And you over 18 developers and engineers to help create this app.
Yes.
My gosh.
I had a big goal and a big vision. And so it took a lot of people and a lot of time, like working overtime for it to happen within a year.
Incredible. Oh, a year. So that's how long this has been in the works.
Well, I think it took about a year from start to finish. But before that, I wanted to do a fitness app for a few years, but I knew that I needed to, one, hire creative directors for Buff Bunny Collection. Cause it's kind of like, okay, not that I'm stepping away from Buff Bunny Collection, but I was like, I know that my team needs that because I created this monster of doing these campaign videos and people love it. So I'm like, cool, I need someone who can carry that on for me so I can take a step back, still be involved with the campaigns because I love it. I just flew to Miami actually to help them storyboard like our new collection coming out. And so I was like,
oh, I'm excited.
They're like, you don't have to go because we have a creative director. I'm like, yeah, but the story means a lot to me. I've been working on this collection for a while. So it's like,
I love that.
But it's great because my creative director for Buff Bunny Collection is exceptional. And it's funny. It's a guy, but he knows.
He gets it.
He gets
it. And that's what matters.
That is what
you
matters.
You can trust.
Okay. You can trust. And honestly, there's not that many creative directors that are women. I would love to see more women that are creative directors, because whenever we're you know, putting out ads and everything, 99.9% of everyone that applied was a man, which is okay.
Yeah.
But I was just like, where are the girls?
Yeah.
You know,
we want this.
We want this.
But we're very happy with what, but with what we got. Exactly. Yeah, of course.
Michael was a creative director for Fashion Nova, like during their craziest time. He was like, I was, you know, doing 6 photo shoots a day during their craziest time.
Wow.
I was like, so, and it's also a woman brand.
Yeah.
So, but he wanted to do more storytelling, which I was like, I feel that. Perfect. You'd be great for us.
Oh, good.
But with creating the Grounds app, I knew that I needed to make sure Buff Bunny Collection was good before I could take a step back. So two things I did was hire an amazing director of operations. She has changed my life, and she got the team on a really good system, processes, and made everything flow really well. Then I hired a creative director, and I was like, cool, I can still be involved with Buff Bunny Collection a lot, but I can now give myself extra time in order to create this app that I wanted. So for years I wanted to do one, but finding app developers, engineers, is so hard. The right ones. Cause I mean, I interviewed tons of them and I knew what I wanted was expensive. I was like, I know it's not cheap. It is not a white label. It's not like a copy paste.
Yeah.
But talking to these app developers, like, oh, I could do that for, you know, $15,000. I'm like, you're going to create me an app for Apple, for Android, and a website for $15,000. They're like, yeah. I was like, red flag.
Yep.
That does not sound like a stable, good quality product.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finally found the team, it was funny because they assumed that I would just call it the Buff Bunny app. And I was like, no. Although it wouldn't be a bad idea, but I wanted two different things because... Yeah. For Buff Bunny Collection, it's its own, you know, entity. It's its own brand. And for Grounds, I wanted a different vibe. I was like, I want neutral colors only. Buff Bunny Collection is known for like brights and like loud and crazy. I was like, and for like these like fantasy collections. And I was like, for Grounds, I want it to be more just simple and neutral colors, not overwhelming for like newbies and, you know, even intermediate advanced. I want it to just be very like calm and really just... grounding, if you will, very grounding. And so when I first said I want to call it Grounds, they were like, we don't like it. And I was like, I love it. But giving the reason why, I was like, one, the word, it means an area with a purpose. If you look up the word grounds, so it's like, oh, you know, walking the grounds, it's an area with a purpose. And I was like, for us, I was like, I want this to be purposeful for women. It's a safe space for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, I was like, you know, if I call it Buff Bunny, then if as I bring on new trainers onto the app, because I want to build like a team of women. Right now we have, there's 5 of us. I'd love to get like to 15 eventually. And with that, I was like, if it's called Buff Bunny, it limits, you know, because girls work with so many of these different clothing brands, it'd be a conflict of interest.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was another reason.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That's smart. You're smart.
Thanks. I try. But when I said that, they were like, ah, okay. I was like, it opens it up to like, you could work with almost any trainer influencer that you want to, as long as they don't have their own fitness app or they work with another fitness app. So it just makes your options to be able to build a team a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And I love the name. It's just very fun. And I don't know. So that was the reason why we called it Grounds. And I had the idea, I was like, I want to encompass a million different things into an app, not just workouts, but when I would talk to women, I mean, I'd be talking to women like on the plane and in Uber, just chatting, you know.
Everybody's always trying to figure out how to handle their own health and fitness. And so you've launched a ton of features with this app.
Yeah.
So yeah, walk us through all the features. I love it because you have a macro calculator, right? Even a water intake journal. Different programs. You can also do like challenges, right? So you can follow them. But there's one feature that I like. I'm sorry, I'm answering the question.
which is your favorite feature?
It is cool that you can go into a gym, like if you have an apartment gym or something and you have limited equipment, and you can just select like, oh, I only have these 3 machines. You'll create a workout for somebody, because it's hard for people to see equipment as they're newbies and understand like, okay, these 2 are for legs or this one is for that. I love that. But what is your favorite? Sorry, I took
that's actually, that's one of my top ones for sure. Cause I feel like a lot of newbies. I was just chatting with a friend the other day, and she was like, oh, I was doing a workout and I wasn't able to switch the movement. And it just, like, especially if you're type A OCD, you're like, oh, now I can't do the whole workout.
Yes.
Because you can't do that one movement. Or and sometimes you just don't know how to modify it because you're a newbie.
That's it. That's something I feel a lot of people are always looking for alternatives or how to modify. So, yes.
Exactly. And when creating the app, I was like, you know, I told my business partners, I was like, I want an app that has workouts, that has a macro calculator, but also you can track your food, scan your food to make it easier. I want a journal because it's like there's so much that goes into, you know, your fitness journey. There's a lot of mental challenges that you struggle with, and just promoting people to write down their thoughts and record how they're feeling during that process is so important. And water calculator, because I guess back in the day, people were like, gotta drink a gallon of water a day, you know? It's like the bro bodybuilders. I'd be like, man, I have like 4'11 and a half. Like, a gallon of water is a lot for me. I was like, you're gonna tell me to drink the same amount of water as my husband? My boyfriend?
That's true. A lot. True.
So we have a water calculator. Again, it's general-ish, because like one thing that is hard for us to collect, which we're trying to implement, is like, do you live in a hot climate? Do you live in a cold climate? But based on, you know, male, female, your height, your weight, how often you're working out, the water calculator will calculate how much water. Some people need more than a gallon of water a day.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's cool.
That was important to me. And the period tracker is probably one of my favorite features.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I was like, yeah, there's not really any fitness apps that have a period tracker on it.
And like cycle syncing and all that is huge right now.
Yes. And so for me, it's like a lot of women don't know that they have four phases of a period. They was just like, okay, I'm on my period or I'm ovulating. But really there's four phases of a period. So we wanted the app to let women know like, hey, this is when you're on your period, this is when you're ovulating, but here's your other two phases. And that way they can easily look at their calendar and see what phase they're in at all times. It just makes it a little easier. You know, so like personally, that was really important to me. I was like, we can't launch without this period feature. And we almost launched without it because it took so long to develop this app. Mm-hmm. And that was the one thing that they were like, this is a beast. This is a monster, like, to do this period. And it's taking way longer than we thought. And I was like, let's hold off. So we waited until the period tracker was like good to go before we launched the app, because it was so important to me. Because I was like, I want an app that really encompasses everything that a woman would need.
Yes.
So it was expensive and it took a lot of time, but it was so worth it. And I love the team that I work with. They're some of my closest friends.
I feel like your app really is the one and all. Like, you have everything that a female would need on this app to take care of ourselves, like mentally, a little bit of physically, even like with our periods. That's something that's overlooked a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I love it. Skincare from the sea. You got that right. I'm introducing you to the brand Osea. If you have not heard of them yet, this company is called OSEA. It stands for Ocean, Sun, Earth, and Atmosphere. And it is an amazing skincare and body care company. This company is vegan and cruelty-free. They're climate neutral certified and ocean positive. It is a clean beauty company. It checks all of the boxes. I love these products so much. I actually gave some away to some of you for the local event so that you could try them as well. Some of the favorite ones that I use are the body oil and lotion, and then I also love the hyaluronic serum and the ID Puff serum. And every time I use them, I feel so luxurious. They also have a few gift sets that are going on for Mother's Day, which is really fun. They have a glow and go facial set and then a golden glow body set. I'm definitely going to get my mom one of these. I just don't know which yet. So go ahead and treat yourself or your mom to the everyday spa experience that you deserve. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code FUNGAINS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head over to OSEAMalibu.com and use code FUNGAINS for 10% off. I'm so proud of your app. It's so cool. And you have a lot of trainers that you also introduced your programs as well, right?
That was a whole other thing too. They were like, you want to do all these features, you want to do all this, and you want to launch with four other trainers, because they're like, you should just launch it on your own. And I was mm-hmm. like, I guess for me, I've always been like a girl's girl. Like, I love a community of women. And I was like, but it's also important to me to launch, because I want girls to, like, some girls might not connect with me because just like, there's so many different,
yeah,
different women. Right. And I was like, but if they don't connect with me, I hope that they connect with one of the other trainers.
Yeah.
And they see themselves in that other trainer. So it's really important to me to have trainers that have a variety of different stories, backgrounds, shapes, sizes. And like, we're all in different journeys. And that took a while too, because then I had to like really like think about, okay, which girl, mm-hmm, and bringing them on and then shooting all of their exercises. But it was fun because we filmed those 2200 exercises for 2 weeks straight with the girls. We got really close and it was fun. Like, they were like, even if you kicked us off the app, we don't even care because we're having so much fun out here in LA. And I was like, I was like, I'm not kicking you guys off the app, but I'm glad that they had so much fun during that time. And it's just like, if you work with people that are just genuinely good humans, it just makes everything so worth it.
Yeah. But I think that also starts with a good leader like yourself, because you set the tone. Thanks, you Brittany. Set the vibe. No, I really mean it. Like, you can just tell from certain people, because I've definitely been on a lot of campaign shoots or shooting sets, not Gymshark. This is not throwing Gymshark under the bus. I think you need to specify if people are thinking that with other companies. But
no, I've actually heard Gymshark shoots are really fun.
They're great.
They're very organized.
Yeah, no, very, very organized, very great. I just need to like specify it's not, because I don't want this to come out. But with other, I did a campaign shoot with another company, and it just like the vibe, even the creative director, like who was running it, it was horrible.
No.
And I was like, it was bad. It was like 2-3 days. And I was like, I don't want to be here. This guy's yelling at everyone, screaming, cursing. And
no.
I'm like, this is just unacceptable.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah. No, it means.
That's a bummer.
It's good.
I've heard stories like that. Like, there was a model who was like, I think she didn't want to put like contour on her face or something. And she was like, and this was like a modeling agency. Mm-hmm. And I remember she was like, yeah, like, I just don't want to really put contour. And the creative director came over and was like, you have no say. We don't care what you think. We don't care. You were a hanger. You were nothing but a hanger. Like, goes off on her. And I was like,
that is,
she was telling
sad.
Me this. I was like, I am so sorry. Cause like at our shoots, it's like, we want everyone to feel welcome and excited. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're so careful on like what influencers we bring on the team. Cause it's like, we want fun and peace and good energy and not like mean girl.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
That's a bummer though. Sorry you had to go through that.
it's all good. I'll ask, because we'll wrap it up in a little bit, but what is a goal that you have for yourself for this year coming up? Do you have any big goals? It could be this year, couple years. I know some things, it's like, I have this idea, but it won't happen for, you know, 2-3 years. But do you have anything?
Yeah, I would say, let's see, a few goals that I have. Okay, I'll say a funny one and then a deep one.
Okay,
a funny one. This could or could not happen this year. But I told one of my business partners, his name is James, he was like, he really wants a monkey. Like, he sends me and like our a lot of the people on the team these like cute little like monkey videos. He like, it's like a whole dream to have a monkey. And I was like, hey, once we hit $10 million in sales collectively for grounds, I will buy you a monkey. And so that's like a goal. We were just talking about it yesterday on the ground shoot, and he's showing me videos. I'm like, hey, if we hit that goal, it could be this year, it could be next year. Like, we don't know. Whenever we hit that goal, I'll get you a monkey. So that's kind of like a fun one that like we use to kind of just like laugh about and whatnot. But I would say a goal like I would love to have this year, which, you know, it's just whenever it happens.
Yes.
I'd love to have get pregnant. If I could get pregnant this year, that'd be like the big goal.
Aww.
So obviously we get married in March, so if it happens after, you know, hopefully after March, that would be great.
makes me so happy.
I know, it's not like a business goal. It's like, well, we had like the fun like business goal one, but then we have like the more,
oh yeah,
I'm like so excited to be a mom.
Oh, you're gonna be the best mom. Thanks. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna freak out.
Oh my gosh,
when I see the announcement, I'm like, gonna be like
oh my god. But I'm nervous. I'm so nervous.
You're gonna be so great.
I'm like, business, I got this. But when it comes to like a human, I'm like, wow, you shape them.
Yes.
It's
all
scary.
Up to you.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's so gradual. Like, you really just learn as you go. Because they start off as like someone who can't, like, they're so needy.
Yeah.
So like, you get to grow with them and like understand with them. So it's like a slow transition.
Yeah. And then I feel like when I have a kid, I'm like, I just want to retire and just give up everything. I just want to spend all my time with this kid. And so that's why I'm like, it scares me, because I feel like I'm going to be so obsessed with my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And also pregnancy kind of freaks me out. Like, I love the idea of growing a human, but when people like, my sisters are like, oh, my baby's kicking. I'm like, oh.
You're like, wait, what? What?
It reminds me of like Alien versus Predator.
I know. Yes. Yeah. No, it's really cool. I know it always, I think it's because it's so unknown. And until you go through it, it's like, there's so many nerves.
Does a
baby
like kick you in the ribs? Like, do you feel it on your bone?
Sometimes you'll feel it, but it really, yeah, it's normally in like your stomach. So it's really not as much of your bones. But yeah, sometimes they'll like kick up here or like sit in weird places.
Yeah.
But it's also like a gradual thing. You know, like it's, I don't know what week they start kicking. I don't remember. But like you're already a couple months in. So you're already like kind of in that place. And once you like see your baby on the ultrasound, you're like kind of like mentally, then you start going, oh, okay, like now I can't wait to like feel it moving around. And then it like, it kind of makes it real. But yeah, it's hard to like look at everything all at once, but it's so gradual that it actually lets your mind and your body like kind of prepare. No, the scariest thing is when you're in labor and you're like, there's only one way this baby's coming out and I'm not ready. Like, you're like, you can't take it back. You can't.
No, that scares me too. I'm like,
oh my gosh, I was in denial forever. I was like, no, this can't be happening. I'm not ready.
Did you have cesarean or vaginal?
Vaginal.
Okay, vaginal. Okay, like I'm shooting for that.
Yeah.
But because I'm so little, my nephew got stuck in my sister, who's like a couple inches bigger than me.
Yeah.
But I have smaller hips than her. So her baby, he survived. He almost died though, because he got stuck for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And because she really wanted to go for the vaginal. She's like, I really want to do it. So now I'm scared. I'm like, I'm just going to listen to my doctor. I'm like, do you think I could do it? Or like.
It also just depends like the shape of your pelvis, the position the baby's in. So you probably should be able to, but who knows?
Pregnancy. Yeah. I was like, you know.
You can do it.
I could probably do it.
I'm 5'2". So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're itty bitty. So I was like, if you did it, how long were you in labor for?
I don't remember. Like we picked my mom up at the airport at like 8 p.m. And then we went to the hospital at like 10 because I was like, I'm not in labor. Like I was denying it. And it was getting like kind of bad. So I went and I was already at like 5 or 6 centimeters dilated. And then I almost made
it. Labor?
Well, I was in denial. Meaning like, this isn't happening. Like, I'm not ready yet. It was like a week and a half early and I was like freaking out.
Like, stay in there.
Yeah. No, and then I think it was like 4 a.m. So like from what time I looked at the clock, like 8 to 4 a.m. Wow. So I don't know. But it genuinely felt like period cramps, like intense cramps. That's what it feels like. And I got an epidural, so.
Wow. So okay, so the contractions didn't feel that crazy. It just felt
the
like,
contractions feel like period cramp, like if you've had bad period cramps, like tightening. Yeah.
See, I have
it just
that
feels like cramps
every month because I have adenomyosis.
Yeah. So you'll start. Oh, then you will. Then you'll be.
So I'll be like, oh, this is nothing, right?
Yeah, but the last, I think, like once you reach 8 centimeters, it gets. I mean, it probably starts hurting a lot more. I got an epidural at like 6. So, like, I didn't feel anything after that. Yeah. But I labored by myself up to that.
Did the epidural hurt?
No.
It didn't?
No. That's what my husband does. He does all, like, the anesthesia.
That's so
puts
nice.
Puts you to sleep. Oh, yeah. You have a small medical background. So
but needles. So, like, it's funny because, like, my husband's like, you're so weird. I'm like, needles freak me out. But scalpels, like, surgery. So, I was a surgical assistant for a while for a periodontist. So, we did a lot of mouth surgery. So, I'd be like, holding gums back, exposing, and like I
but
would take
needle,
the IV like, out,
yeah,
like the needle out. But like, I don't. There's something about needles like poking.
Yeah, it's in your back, so you can't see. The IV is the worst. Just
but
don't
it's
look
a
at
big
that.
Needle in your back,
but you don't see it. Yeah, they're just like lean over. Okay, it's all good. It's gonna be so good. That's so exciting.
Yeah,
I always love to end the podcast with asking the question: what is one thing you would tell your younger self?
Okay, so I would probably tell my younger self to be more patient. Okay. I think that's something that even nowadays, like I feel like I'm a patient person, but I feel like when you're younger and you're figuring a lot of things out, you want everything now and you want this and you want that. And you just to be like a little bit more patient and have more grace, because that's something that I learned, I guess, much later in life. And something that I tell other women too. It's just like being more patient, having grace for yourself, and then creating boundaries, because that really helps your mental health, one, and then it also is going to help you like achieve more goals.
I love that.
So yeah,
good little pocket put in your arsenal.
My little pocket.
That's something I always need to be reminded of, though. Just be more patient. Like, we always are wanting things like now. Like, oh, I wanted that last week. It's like, no, let's be patient and realize that it's part of the journey, and that journey is your life. So, like, if you're not being able to be present and enjoy things right now, you're kind of wasting those times and those lives, your life of waiting and wishing and wanting. So patience is good. And grace. We all need to be more kind to ourselves and forgiving.
Yes, because we can beat ourselves up so much. Imposter syndrome, or just like, oh, I could have done this better. I could have done that better. And so I try to celebrate my little successes now. It's like,
good. Yeah.
Oh, I got this. Like, I'm proud of myself. So I try to like say that internally to myself. Like, if I'm driving, I'm either listening to a podcast, or I just don't listen to any music at all. And I just like have complete silence.
That's cool.
And I try to reflect on my day and be like, okay, I'm proud of myself for these things. And that helps me like mentally, you know, because sometimes like we just get so wrapped up in like, oh, like we beat ourselves up.
Yep.
You know,
we do.
But that helps me to like really focus on my wins, and then still think about the things I need to work on. Be like, okay, I need to work on these things, but I do it after I think about my wins.
I love that. That's a good thing I'm going to remember. Focus on the positive, and then you can talk about things you want to include.
Positivity sandwich.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I love that.
And honestly, even as a leader, that's a good thing that you can do for your team is always lead with their strengths, and then give them the things that you want them to work on. Otherwise, if you just start with the negatives first, it can be really like
overwhelming. Yeah.
Overwhelming, and it can like dull the creativity.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right. Positivity sandwich.
Positivity sandwich. Put that on a mug.
Yeah. Put that on a mug. I probably could sit here and talk to you forever and ever. But
thanks, Brittany. This has been fun.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you've had fun. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come be on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun. We should do it again if it does well. Maybe like April.
Yes, we will. I will text you.
Or May, whenever your husband's done.
I'll follow up. Okay. I'll follow up whenever you're ready.
Yeah. But yeah.
Thank you again so much for coming on. Do you want to give I'll have your socials linked.
Awesome.
For everybody in the show notes. I was going to say tell everybody your socials, but... Buff Bunny.
They'll be linked down below.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks, Brittany.
Thanks for being on. We'll talk to you all next week for some more fun and games. Bye.
Bye.
You are listening to the Fun and Games podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Lupton. Thank you for listening to another episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Make sure you come back next week for some more fun and games.
Bye. I love you. Fun and Games, family. Bye. Make sure to comment.
Bye.